The Holy Bible reads, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." And basically what God is telling you there is, when you stand before Him, you will not have, as a child of God, any excuses. You cannot blame God, you cannot blame even the devil, and say, "Well, nobody was tempted like me." That's just a lie. We're all tempted. And don't believe the lying Christians who say they're not. They're liars. If a Christian tells you they're not tempted with sin, mark that person as a liar and avoid them as much as possible. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And then I want to read in your hearing, and by the way, you need to hide that passage in your heart. It is one of the passages in the Holy Bible that every Christian ought to have hidden away in his or her heart. But the passage that we're going to expound upon today is James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. "But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Son. We praise you and we thank you, Lord, for the standing between the living and the dead memorial prayer devotional service. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Help us to learn from it. Help us to apply it to our lives. Help us to obey it. Help us to love it more. And Lord, I do pray that you'll help us to share it with others. And Lord, help us to use it to be what you would have us to be. We praise you and we thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy towards such wretched people as we are, even as believers. And as believers, we individually confess our sins, our failures, and our faults unto you. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us. It is my prayer, Lord, that none of us have this problem, this sin problem of envy. But Lord, we know that there are some people in the world who do, even in your church. And Lord, expose the evil in their hearts and help them to confess their sins and to repent and turn from their evil ways, and help them to realize they are motivated not by you and your love, but by envy and jealousy, and foolishness and bitterness and resentment. And Lord, give them sweet victory. Give everybody sweet victory over all temptation, evil, and sin, whatever it might be. Thank you, Lord, for leading me to deal with this issue of temptation in this long way, dealing with every verse regarding the common temptations that we all face. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we are not ignorant of the devil's devices, we know that the devil is constantly seeking to try to hinder your gospel from going forward, your holy word from going forward. And he's working right now to try to hinder that. And Lord, I do pray that no one here would become the doorway for the devil to try to hinder this time together. And Lord, I pray that you'll help everybody to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, and to keep their hearts and minds stayed on you. Keep all of us in perfect peace. And give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and from the demons of hell and over the demons of hell, and Lord, over the demonic spirit of Judas and Sanballat. And Lord, deliver people from being envious of others on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, to the point, Lord, they're changing the way they look. Lord, which some of this has got to be a sin somewhere. The sin of not being satisfied how you made us, and so envious of other people. There are people trying to look like other people that you made, and they don't even look like themselves. God, deliver young people from this foolishness. Deliver women and men from this foolishness and this evil. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Chuck Swindoll said, envy is a painful and resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. You. You need to move over more. Allow me to repeat that. Chuck Swindoll said, envy is a painful and resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another, accompanied by a strong desire to possess the same advantage. Envy wants to have what someone else possesses. Envy is forever reaching, forever longing, forever squinting, thinking and saying sinister insinuations. My. Are you envious today? Sad to say, so many people are, especially in this day and time. And it's destroying their souls, and it's destroying their minds and their bodies. People are envious so much today, they try to change themselves. They spend thousands upon thousands of dollars even millions of dollars to look like Kim Kardashian. Envy. Not only are they envious, but they want what other people have. And they sit down and stew, looking at Facebook, looking at Instagram. And people are now made, so people today are so fake. Some people are looking like cartoon characters. White people are envious of black women and their plump lips and big behinds. They're going out buying it, using all kinds of things to puff up their lips. And then we have black people envious of white people trying to lighten their skin, using Ambi. Back in the day, used to use Clorox to lighten their skin. White folks trying to become darker, black folks trying to become lighter. If I can help one young lady, be she black or white, to just be herself and to be happy being herself, this series will be worth it all. And so, beloved, in this Bible study, we are looking at the instructions of a writer named James to the Jewish Christians scattered throughout the Roman Empire. The Bible does not specify which James wrote this epistle, other than that he is a servant of God. But it is traditionally attributed to James, the brother of Jesus. If anybody could be tempted with the sin of envy, certainly James. When you have a brother who is Emmanuel, God in the flesh, the superstar of all superstars. Can you imagine being a brother of Jesus and trying to match up in front of your parents to Jesus? The man who raised the dead, the man who walked on water, the man who healed the sick, and then the man who died for the sins of the entire world, the Messiah, who took away the sins of the world, who did the most significant thing in the history of the world. Can you imagine being James, the brother of Jesus, and you're trying to gain some significance to prove yourself to be somebody, and you have a brother who did the most significant thing in the history of the world? My God, my God. If anybody could have been tempted with envy and say, why not me? Why wasn't I was in the same family. Why couldn't I be the Messiah? Why could I not receive now all this glory? Here I am, pointing to him. I'm pointing people to him now. But thank God James was not that way. If he had yielded to that, we would not be hearing from him today. And so, beloved, in this chapter, James warns Christians against using their speech to hypocritically curse others and stir up trouble while also trying to bless God with the same mouth. Instead, we are to use our tongues to speak God's wisdom and God's truth. Thank God for the few Christians who got that down pat. They don't engage in gossip. They don't engage, and they won't let you engage them in talking about others. They make a beeline to the Word of God, and they proclaim the gospel, and they proclaim truth. And my dear friend, you ought to do the same. Inside of your family, outside of your family, you need to make a beeline back to the Word of God and talk about that. Because there's enough to talk about when it comes down to the Word of God, my dear friends. Encourage people through the Word of God with your mouth. And stop tearing down others that you are envious of. One of the ways in which we fall into sin with our speech is through the temptation and sin of envy and strife. James warns us that having envy in our hearts towards others and stirring up strife and divisions in the church comes from a carnal and devilish mindset. I said a carnal and devilish mindset. These people who always talking negative about other people, envious of other people, trying to put them down, trying to lift themselves up. What a pitiful life that some people live. That's all they do. And if you can, by the grace of God, you need to get as far away from them as you possibly can, because you will end up like them. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Evil communications corrupt good manner. You might have somebody in your life right now. Every time you get around them, when you leave them, you don't feel lifted up. You feel dirty. And you feel like you need to confess your sins and repent, because they're full of bitterness and resentment and envy. They always try to engage you in talking about somebody else. Gossiping and foolishness. Dr. John Rittenbaugh said, James focuses on bitter envying or bitter envy. If envy is desire for what another has, bitter envy must mean a person wants something so much that he is angry and hateful over it and will do almost anything to get it, including murder. Bitterness is a child of anger and resentment. Satan takes great delights in burdening our hearts with these harmful emotions. Unprovoked or quick-tempered anger is a hallmark of our modern cities and even churches, which resound in the night with the, and nowadays broad daylight, with the bark of gunfire and the howl of sirens. Bitter envying takes jealousy to the next step by adding resentment and anger. And from it emerges words that stab. Some of the greatest backstabbers in the world are people who envy others with their words. They stab, cut, tear down, refute, and diminish. They have a heart of hatred. They have a heart of pride. They have a heart of bitterness. And they're constantly trying to diminish others, put others down, try in an attempt, at least in their own minds, to lift them up, lift themselves up. We use these to reduce the stature of another. So we may seem to stand taller. A talebearer or gossip only wants his listener to think less of another so that he might think more of him or her. We can be envious because another sinned and got away with it. We can envy those who have more, whom we feel do not deserve it. Some of you people in the church today, you envy people who you know have the favor of God. It just seems like God just constantly opens doors for them. People just kind of like them, seems like, more than you. They get the best jobs. It appears to you. They get the best opportunities, and you in your mind think that they don't deserve it. In your mind you say they ain't about nothing, and look at them. Look how the pastor raises him up or her up. And they don't even have a degree like me. They don't even have the knowledge of things like I do. They don't have the wardrobe that I have. Look at how I look compared to them, but yet these people are always raised up above me. Your heart is full of envy. Because, see, you can't fight against favor. Listen to me very carefully. You can't fight against favor. When God chooses to show favor on somebody, you don't know what's going on. You have no clue. When God chooses to show favor on people. Here's the thing about favor. The people who have the favor, they know they don't deserve it. And they're constantly praising God out of your sight for the favor shown. But you don't praise God for the favor shown to you, the little favor shown to you. So you don't get the big favor because you're constantly envious of other people. You can't even look and see and appreciate what God has done for you. God is in the favor business, but he's not going to give you favor if you're full of hell and the devil and demons and you're mad all the time. Don't bow your head yet. It's not time to pray. I'm not praying right now. Keep looking at me. No, sir, no, ma'am. If you're so filled with hatred and pride and stubbornness, thinking that you're somebody, thinking that you deserve something when you don't deserve anything but the lowest hell. See, the person who has that favor, uneducated, not even close to getting a degree, don't have the great job or even the great looks, and does not have the wardrobe that you have. Look how perfect and put together you are. You tight and right in your sight. But God keeps raising them up because they understand they don't deserve anything at all but hell. And they're so thankful to get anything. And so God will just keep on raising them up above you with your red bottom shoes and your good credit and your big fine house on Pork Chop Hill while you are stewing in your Cadillac going home mad as the devil because God keeps showing favor to somebody you think don't deserve it, and they know they don't, and they're rejoicing in God. You can't fight against favor. In fact, beloved, the more you try to fight against favor and prove yourself and defend yourself and show everybody how great you are and how self-made you are, God bless your heart, you are constantly digging yourself a hole, and you will never rise above that person that you envy. Never. Never. Because you can't fight against favor. Because ultimately, dear friend, you're mad at God. And God's not going to tolerate that. Just like a good parent will not tolerate that from a child. Are you mad at me? With all that I've done for you? I'll tell you what, I'm going to take away what you got and give it to your sister. How about that? With your bad self. Mm-hmm. You can't fight against favor. You're fighting against God. When you're fighting against favor, you hate somebody. Why is he able to do that? Why is he able to say what he says, and he gets to do what he does? That's just the favor of God. That person that you're envious of, number one, they don't even know you're envious, and they don't care, because they know that they don't deserve to be there. They know, and they tell God, Lord, you've been so good to me, you know I deserve hell. That's all I deserve. Why does she get to do that? Why is she so chummy with so-and-so and them, and I'm up here trying to be that. I've done this and I've done that. I've given X amount of dollars, and they don't even see me. Because you're trying to be that, and you're trying to do that, and you're trying to get close to somebody, but God has not given you the favor. And the best thing you can do is just humble on down. Humble on down. Humble on down. Get down in the dirt. Humble. Humble yourself on down. Stop trying to climb. And stop trying to be somebody else. Stop being envious and hateful towards people who have favor from God and favor with man. You can't. You can't fight against favor. And I know you're frustrated. I know you're angry and you're bitter because of it, because you think you're better than everybody else. And see, that mentality right there will never get you to where you want to go. Never. If you're not 110% content right where you are in God, you'll never climb any higher. If you think you deserve something, bless your little heart, you're in a hole that you can't even get out of. You're not even on level ground. And the person you envy, who you are thinking about, but they're not thinking about you, they're going to keep on climbing up and up. Envy, my dear friends, often springs up when we receive unwarranted correction and someone else who deserves it does not get it. We can feel envy when one receives attention we desire for ourselves, or when we fail to receive hard-earned or hard-worked-for recognition. See, only Jesus can deliver you from that kind of wicked mentality and heart spiraling downward. Only Jesus can deliver you from that if you let him. Only God can break you and break you and break you and break you down to the ground and help you to be humble, and then make you and mold you where you're not moved by envy. In fact, you're actually happy for all people and what they are able to do and get to do, even if it's more than what you're doing. I cannot explain that to you, but I do know this. You've got to be dead. And what your problem probably is you're not dead yet. Because, see, when you're dead in Christ, I can't give you my deadness. I can't explain it to you. I can't put it all in words, but you got to be dead where you realize that you're nothing. And God is everything. And Jesus is everything. That you really can't do great stuff until you are dead and broken down to the ground. And God lifts you up. And God will, through Christ, live through you and do what he wants done. Because if you would remember the little prayer that Jesus taught us all, that your grandmother and your great-grandmother taught you, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Dear friend, it's not about you anyway. It has never been about you. It's about God. You think it's about you. That's why you're envious. That's why you're jealous. That's why you're mad as the devil. That's why you're bitter and resentful, male and female. Because you're not dead in Christ. Christ is not in control of your life and living through you. Because when that happens, you can't be envious. You are actually happy for other people because it's Christ in you causing you to be that way. And you're content with how God has used you and blessed you. You've got to be dead. You need to die daily. Some of us are too alive. And it's all about us. This is what has driven the church into the ditch. Selfishness, pride, pecking order, trying to be somebody, don't have the favor, don't have the gifts, don't have the talent, and trying to be somebody. And it's such a sad, sad play. It is a sick situation. And so God, in his mercy, in his love, and in his grace, he shut down the church. How are you doing now? You don't have a stage to act on anymore, and to fight on, and to become bitter towards and envious of. Now you're stuck at home with your family. How you doing? Still on the computer, spending half of your day when you should be working and doing something for the glory of God and doing your schoolwork, looking at other people and what they're doing, becoming more envious, more bitter, more resentful. And then you try to drink it off at night. Envious words are bitter words. They are pointed and sharp, but their target is subtle. I said it to you before, and I'll say it again. There are spouses envious of spouses. There are wives mad at husbands that God has used mightily. And in their minds, they're saying, I'm a little old nobody. When in reality, if they did their job, they would understand that God used them to help the husband to get to where he is. And they would be content in that. Oh, but no, you don't want that. You want to have the spotlight like him. That's the devil working through you. I know I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it. We got husbands who are envious of their wives. Their wife is a bright light, irrepressible, powerful, and they're envious because she's closer to God than he is. They ought to be up there together, but and so he's constantly like a crab trying to pull her down and pull, because she's so close to God and she prays and reads the Bible and tries to disturb her devotions because he does not want to have devotions. He's jealous of her relationship with God. And there are wives who are jealous of the relationship that the husband has with God. Did you know that? Do you know there are people who are envious and jealous of your relationship with God? What? Are you kidding me? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. They can't. And watch some people how they act. How they try to disturb what your meditation time, your prayer time, your reading of the Bible. Now, they don't want to see that. They want you to be under their control. They want you to be miserable like them. Because misery loves company. They can't, watch this. They're envious of your joy. That irrepressible joy. That joy unspeakable, that peace that passeth all understanding. They can't listen to me. They manage. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'm trying to help you. They are envious that you're not angry. What? That you're not bitter. That you're not resentful. That they can't get to you. You're cool as a cucumber. They're mad at you because no matter what buttons they push to try to get you off of your relationship with God so that the devil and the person can accuse you and point at you. The devil is a lie. That's right. You got people envious of your relationship with God, how close you are to God. They can't stand to see you pray. They can't stand to see you have devotions. They cannot stand for you to be around spiritual people who never envy or gossip or talk about anybody. They want you to be miserable and sad and depressed like them. And like little crabs, they try to pull you back down in the bucket of misery. I know I'm right about it. I don't need any amens. Amen, lights. That's what Dr. Grant from James City, North Carolina used to say. That's one thing I remember. He woke me up from my sleep when he would say, "Amen, lights." That means I can't get any amens from the human beings. Lights, cry out. Because I know I'm right about it. You got folk in your family envious of you. They can't stand the fact that you're never worried, you're never disturbed, no matter what the crisis is. They're doubly mad at you right now and envious of you right now because you not only have you not allowed the plague pandemic to disturb you, it can't disturb you. They're wondering why you're not pulling your hair out like everybody else. You see, beloved, on the surface, they may even sound righteous, but in reality, they manipulate thinking in the speaker's favor. Do our words build? Do they build or do they burn? Do you build up people or do you burn them down? If we build our stature by burning another's, we are standing on a platform of ashes that will crumble and topple us at any time. Those who harbor envy and stir up strife among Christians are doing the devil's work. Doing evil work against God's kingdom. And no wonder God has shut down the church, because this was running hot and heavy in churches across this nation, even among preachers. Some preachers, bless their hearts, they have not heard from God since God called them, or since the devil called them, or their mother called them, or their father called them. So some preachers are not even called to preach. Somebody else called them. In the words of Dr. John McNeil, somebody said they got to hit like a preacher and all that foolishness. But some preachers have never heard from God, and some haven't heard from God since they were truly called. You know why? Because they're so envious and so jealous and so enamored with other preachers that God has used. You know how God used them? Because those preachers became broken before God and became nothing before God. They became dead before God, and so that's only then can God use you. That's why God is using them. Every last one of the preachers that God is using today, they're dead. They are broken down to the ground. They do not think they're anything. They're just as shocked as you are about how much God is using them. But they're broken, and they are people who pray because they need to pray, because they have nothing to offer anybody but God, but Jesus, but the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But these little preachers are so enamored with them and say, "Oh, God is just using you so much. Please send me your blog. Please send me everything you do, sir. And I want to be in your orbit. And anytime you want me to come and speak and so forth, I'd be glad to do so. And I will regurgitate everything you said." You got preachers. Listen to me. The church is filled with preachers who have not had an original thought or word from God in 20 to 30 years. They are regurgitating what somebody else who is being used by God. Hear me and hear me well, and no wonder why. No wonder God has shut down the church. Because if he need, and those preachers who are still going on strong, God called preachers who stay in touch with God and get their messages from God through prayer, they're going on strong. One preacher said the other day that the offerings are up, not from the government money, by the way. And I want to say again, you people who are getting money from the government, you're not obligated to give that to the church. You're not. If you want to, it's a whole lot. You're getting a whole lot. You want to share some with the church, fine. But you're not obligated to do that. And don't let no tricky dick preacher tell you that and talk you out of your blessing and the money you need to survive. And if the church is not giving you any money, I wouldn't give them a dime in this plague, because you're going to need that money. Because this plague has not gone anywhere, and you're going to find that out here shortly. This spirit, it stirs up confusion so that the work that God wants to be done is hindered. It's hindered. See, that's what one of the main jobs of the devil is, to hinder. Not only stop and destroy, but to hinder. Paul said, I was coming to you, but I was hindered by the devil. We need to let go of envious speech, more importantly, envious hearts and thoughts, so that we will aid the work of God for the glory of God on earth, rather than be working in opposition against it. And let me say to you how you can do that, my dear friend. First of all, make sure you're born again yourself. Make sure that you're saved, that you know God, you know Jesus for yourself. That's number one. Please. Please. And number two, cultivate that, meaning you pray and read God's word every morning like you're supposed to, preferably with your family, and then by yourself. And for some of you, you need to let go of Facebook. You need to take a Facebook fast. an Instagram fast. God bless your heart. A Twitter fast. And get off of social media. Stop looking at news sites. We own news sites. So you know I love you. We thank God for the thousands who come. Thousands of folks listen to me because of our news sites that we have out. So, I like for people to check the news. But some of you need to leave the news alone. Because some news sites are propaganda for people that you're envious of. But the key thing you need to do is make sure you're born again and make sure you're saved. And pray to God. And you get everything you need from God through prayer and through the reading of the Word of God. Start reading the Bible all the way through. Get everything that God wants you to have original from God. And stop going to these so-called preachers that are not your pastor. You have one pastor, hopefully. I don't care if he's uneducated. I don't care if he's never been to a cemetery or not. I can care less. If he's your pastor, you listen to him. I guarantee you that God will give you everything you need through him. Stop making all these other people your pastor and talking about my father in the ministry. They don't know you. You don't know them. And they're just using you. Don't be foolish. Stop following everybody. And I mean this. Stop. You need to let go. Some of you people in this plague, you need to stop following every preacher out there that you're following. You need to stop reading their doggone blogs. That's not the Bible. Thousands of you preachers and people, you need to, and pastors, why? Stop reading everybody's blog, following everybody. You spend half your day commenting on people's blog. Oh, that's so wonderful. That's so powerful. What a great thought. It's nothing. It's nothing. You could have had the same thought if you had prayed to God. These people are praying in your place and teaching you everything, and you don't know anything originally. Instead of spending half your day, bless your heart, following a thousand different people, you know, these people who have believed the lie. If you follow a thousand people on Twitter, they'll follow you back. No, they won't. In life, we have leaders and followers. Why don't you be a leader? I don't follow anybody. If you go to any of my social media and you see me following anybody, let me know. They have put themselves up there. But I don't follow anybody. Let me say it real good and real right. I don't follow nobody but Jesus. On purpose. I don't care about the numbers following me. I'm not going to follow anybody to get somebody to follow me. That's so sick. That is so sick and so ridiculous. Mm-mm. If anybody going to do following, you're going to follow me. I'm not following you. I'm going to follow Jesus. Where's his Twitter page at? And if somebody created one, I'm not going to follow that either. Because I don't trust them. And I would encourage you to unfollow everybody. That's right. Tell everybody. Daniel, what did they tell you? To unfollow everybody. You can't keep up with all these people anyway. Stop that. And I mean it. Unfollow everybody. Stop reading everything somebody is saying. You spending over half your day listening to other people's regurgitated comments about nothing, some made up mess they done made up, the devil done gave them. Are you kidding me? If you want a social media thing, a Twitter thing or whatever, you just unfollow, put a big fat zero. You're not following anybody, and don't worry about who follows you. Don't even look at that. You just say what you got to say for God, for the glory of God. And your little, sweet little thoughts probably don't mean anything. Just put the scriptures up there. I know you think you're wonderful, but you're probably not. You're probably not. It's all about God and Jesus, man. Put one verse of the Bible on there and just do that for the rest of your life. But you need to stop following people. That's why you're so envious and so jealous. You're just consuming everything. And those of you who are not called to be pastors and leaders and so forth, follow your pastor. That's all. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry preacher out there. Later for that. They don't know you. You don't know them. They can't help you. It's disgusting how you people follow everybody but Jesus. And some of these people are devils. And they want you to be beholden to them and follow them, and so they can tap you for money and everything and suck your church dry. My beloved, I'm sharing this with you because I love you. Set yourself free. Pray to God right now. Ask God to forgive you for not reading His Word, for not praying yourself. And get an original thought, an original idea from God. Get some leadership from God. Stop trying to follow everybody. That's why you're miserable and you're messed up. You're a part of the herd. God does not want His people to be a part of the herd. God's people always stand alone. Read your Bible. Always few in number. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop trying to get manufactured favor. Man, you can't work up God's favor, man. Woman, are you crazy? You can't. You can't. You can't manufacture this favor, my beloved. You can't. You cannot do it. You can't make it happen. As soon as you try to make it happen, it's not, you're done. You're done. You can't fight God's favor. And you will never get God's favor, beloved, until you are spiritually dead but living. Dead but living. Christ living through you. God bless you. I have so much more to say, but I have to close. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for doing it again. Thank you for what you have done. Thank you for how you've spoken to our hearts. I don't know how you do it, but you're far, far deeper than we will ever know. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And Lord, we pray that you would set people free today. Help them to stop following devilish people. Lord, help them to follow you. Help them to follow the pastor that you gave them, including the pastors. Help them to see, Lord, in this plague how wrong they are following the crowd and following the herd, trying to fit in with people that they don't even agree with. God, help the people, help the pastors, help the pastors' wives, help the people to stop comparing themselves with themselves, for that is not wise. And deliver them from envy. Help them to stop fighting your favor on the life of somebody else. And Lord, help them to become dead in Christ and allow Christ to live through them, and they can enjoy the favor too. We pray that you would save that soul that is near as hell. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for His sake. Amen. So, my dear friend, if you struggle with envy, take this passage to heart, take this message to heart, and take heed to it the next time you face that awful temptation. Dear friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ, as your Lord and Savior and the free pardon of your sins. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Holy Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Please understand with me, my dear friend, if all you have is church membership, if all you have is a baptismal certificate, if all you have is a card that you signed or you raised your hand in a meeting, if all you have is good works, if all you have is the money you gave to the church, and you have never trusted Christ as Savior, you have never been born again, my dear friend, you're on your way to a devil's hell. Because the Bible says we all are sinners, and we all have fallen short of God's standard. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We are all going to die because of our sin, evil, and foolishness. Our body will go to the grave. Our soul will go to an eternal grave, eternal death in hell, to suffer torment forever. And that could happen to you today. We are all under the threat of death as I speak, like never before in our generation. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ while you can. Believe in your heart. I can't make you do it. God's not going to make you do it, so I'm not going to try to make you do it. I'm just going to do what God told me to do and tell you how to be saved from hell. Believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, "Well, preacher, what is the gospel?" Gospel means good news. The gospel means that you are a sinner, and that because you are a sinner and you have broken God's Ten Commandments, you're on your way to a devil's hell. You see, hell was never created for human beings. It was created for the devil and his angels. However, if you act like the devil and talk like the devil and look like the devil, you will go to hell with the devil. And the only way that you can avoid that is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in your heart, dear friend, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. That is the good news. And the good news is that all you have to do is believe on him, and he will save your soul. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to confess anything to a priest. Right now, you can be saved from that eternal torment in hell and saved to a home in heaven by believing on Christ in your heart and praying and asking him to save you, as we just read, according to the scriptures. So, dear friend, if you are ready to truly be saved, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead on that third day, early one Sunday morning, by the power of God. And pray with me the sinner's prayer. Call on his name and ask him to save you, and he will. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. Lord, to name just a few, I have taken your holy name in vain. I have dishonored, disrespected, and disobeyed my parents. I have coveted after and lusted after in my heart people and things. I have stolen things before. I have lied before. And as you know, Lord, I've committed many other sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, that he paid my sin debt, that he was buried, and that he rose on the third day by your might and power. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent and turn away from my evil life and sins. And Lord Jesus, please help me to follow you into the new life. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven by the grace of God. Not by anything you did, but your simple faith in Christ. So welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him in your heart and in your spirit as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to gospellightsociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. In fact, you can download the book now. Our technician has put that up for you. Download it free. You will never be charged for it. You'll never be asked for any money for it. Download that book now with the same title. And that is What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.